Ladies and gentlemen, it is hockey night in New York. Welcome to the program, everyone. It is Sunday, November 25th, 2018. Coming at you live from Long Island. Another big show for you tonight. Mr. Christian Arnold of Isles Insight will be joining us around 9:45. And this will be another solo edition of Hockey Night in New York. Unfortunately, Tony is once again under the weather, so it will be just myself. So I'm going to power through this as best I can without my pal Tony. I hope he's doing all right. I can't even ask. Well, I already know how it feels to be Tony Stabile because he's sick. So he's out, just me. But hey, some good things to talk about in Isle of the Country, because after last week's less than stellar week, Isles bounced back a little bit. And here we are, a couple days past Thanksgiving, which seems to be that big playoff cutoff for the NHL. You know, that high percentage. If you're in a playoff spot at Thanksgiving, you're looking pretty good to get in at the end of the season. That didn't exactly work out for the Islanders last year, but here we are, a couple days after, and the Islanders find themselves tied for third in the Metro with the New York Rangers. But because they have a couple of games in hand, the Isles currently sit in that number three spot. They got 12 wins, 8 losses, 2 overtime losses. That's good for 26 points in 22 games played. That also puts them 2 points behind the Jackets and 3 points behind the Caps for the top 2 spots in the Metro. And they got a game in hand on both. So they're sitting in a pretty decent spot right now. I'm not complaining. I'll take 4 games over 500 this far into the season. If you've been listening to the show since the beginning, you know that I'm pretty much, you know, surprised by any sort of competition for a playoff spot. So they're looking pretty good after this week, and we just got to keep taking it game by game, week by week, and seeing what this team brings to the table. Because as we're starting to learn now, you know, there's going to be ups and downs, and it's probably going to continue this way, you know, for the rest of the season. You know, if they can stay relatively healthy as they have so far, even though, you know, you got guys like Matt Martin out right now, you got Cizikas out. Apparently, Martin should be back soon. And they've been doing all right without those guys. You know, thankfully, they're not the big guns. You know, you got guys like Josh Bailey playing real well, Brock Nelson. So, you know, if they can stay healthy, maybe this continues and they keep giving us a reason to watch into the later months of the season. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. But so far, so good. And, you know, just to keep it on the Metro standings right now, you know, a lot of people are talking about right now with how well the Islanders are playing in the Metro, which is great. They're 9-1-0 now. They finally suffered a loss at the hands of the Rangers the other night in the Garden. That was not pretty. We'll touch on that in a little bit. But, you know, the Metro right now is looking pretty weak. It's looking a little mediocre. You compare the points in the standings compared to, you know, the Atlantic, the other team, the other divisions in the league. And, you know, pretty mediocre right now. You still have teams like Philly, Pittsburgh, and the Devils struggling. I don't know if, you know, those guys are going to put it together later in the season. I would think Pittsburgh will, just because, you know, those guys are too good. We all know names like Kessel, Crosby, Malkin. I know that they're struggling a little bit in the net right now, but I'd have to think that those guys are going to pick it up eventually. The Islanders find themselves in a good spot, and I guess for now we'll look at the week, a recap of the week. And we'll talk about that pretty awful loss to the Rangers on Wednesday. I guess it was bound to happen, right? Because the Isles have pretty much owned those guys for quite a while now, which is very nice. We all like to hear that. But I guess they were due for a loss to the Rangers. And my goodness, it was what the loss it was. 5-0 drubbing. The team basically didn't show up. And Lehner had himself a rough start. So pretty much a recipe for disaster there. You know, so not a great start to the week, but thankfully, you know, they picked it back up. They go into to play the Devils on Friday, and you get yourself a 4-3 overtime win. Nick Leddy is starting to look better now. I would say the last few games now, he's definitely improved. I know Tony and I touched on not too long ago that, you know, he's kind of had a rough go of it, you know, just going back into last season. So he's playing better. He had a beautiful end-to-end rush in that game. I think that was to go up 3-2. And I think as a whole, the team played pretty good. Unfortunately, the last-minute tying goal epidemic reared its head. It was at 10.2 seconds left in the game. And the Devils tied up. And it just seems like no matter who's coaching this team, no matter what season it is,
the Islanders, for whatever reason, they just fall victim to giving up these late game goals and ends up costing them. Thankfully, the only thing it cost them this time around was handing the Devils a point they probably didn't have to give away. But you have Barzal with that beautiful goal in overtime to seal the 4-3 victory. And so, again, nice bounce back game after that really, really bad loss against the Rangers. And then you go into last night, and you get the very rare back-to-back start from Thomas Greissey. He had a good outing against the Devils. I guess there's still a little lack of faith in Lehner now after the game against the Rangers. And with Greiss playing pretty good over his last few starts, he gets the back-to-back start against Carolina. I would have to think that maybe if that game against the Devils on Friday wasn't at 4 o'clock, maybe they would have went back to Lehner last night. But I guess those extra 3 hours were enough for Barry Trotz to say, hey, we'll give you another go. And Greiss had another good game. But I have to say, on top of that, very solid game from the team overall. It was not a lot of shots. It was kind of, I don't know if you want to call it a boring game. I was talking to a buddy of mine about it. That's how he felt. I was entertained. I was there. I was in the building. And I just thought they played a real solid game. And what a way to start it with Val Filppula's rush, basically, from his own blue line. Ends up dancing through four Hurricanes and puts in a beautiful backhand, and that was pretty much the start of it. And I think from there on, you just get a good performance from the guys. They protected Greiss in front of the net, and they spent a lot of time in the Canes zone. I mean, even if the shot totals were a little low, you know, I feel like they took the majority of the play to the Canes, maybe save for, maybe a bit of a rush by the Canes in the third period to try to mount a comeback. It did not happen. They were only able to muster that one, I believe it was a power play goal from Justin Williams, ruining Greiss' shutout to the dismay of fantasy owners everywhere. But I'll take a 4-1 win, and there you go. After that 5-0 loss to the Rangers, you got back-to-back wins again against Metro rivals. And, you know, these are games that we might be looking back on as we, you know, approach March and April, and we say to ourselves, hey, you know, those points that they bagged against those Metro teams might end up being the difference between the Isles sneaking into a spot, whether it's, you know, clinging on to a third spot, which would really surprise me, or just hanging on for a wild card spot if they can keep this play up. Because not only are they banking points from themselves, but, you know, they're taking points away from all these Metro opponents. I mean, yeah, you cough up that point to the Devils, but, you know, you go the rest of the sheet here, and you know, without it in front of me right now, I think the majority of those wins were in regulation, if not all, against those other Metro opponents. So, I mean, you know, you talk about those 4-point swings where, you know, not only the Islanders getting two, but, you know, they're keeping the other teams off the board. And I guess that's in part why we're seeing these low point totals in the Metro, you know, as a whole here. I mean, you look at the Caps, you know, them leading the division right now, but, you know, by comparison, it's just, you know, they're lacking compared to the rest of the league. And you look at Buffalo out in the Atlantic, you know, they're fighting neck and neck now with Toronto and Tampa Bay for that division. What a resurgence that team is happening over there. Who knows if that's going to keep up, but it's good to see, because those fans have been suffering for quite a long time. And just trying to bring up the standings now, you mean, look at the disparity here. Buffalo leading that division with 34 points. And then the Caps, you know, 29 in the Metro. So there's definitely a disparity there. And you only got 8 points separating first from last in the Metro. So, I mean, you get a good run from any of these teams, be it Pittsburgh, be it Philly, be it Jersey. Maybe, you know, Carolina even gets it together, even though they're, you know, still a little mediocre out of the gate. You know, we might be looking at a big battle here. And yeah, hopefully the Islanders can look back and say, hey, those points we took away from all these Metro rivals in the beginning of the season were huge. But we will see how that plays out. And then you have the Rangers. I mean, another team just surprising everybody. You know, 12-10-2 through 24 games. They're right in the thick of that playoff race, too. And I guess just because of the expectations being so low for teams like the Isles and the Rangers, you just wonder, you know, you can't help but wonder, I guess, if you're trying to be a realist, if the bottom's just eventually going to fall out for these teams. You know, like, you know, is the quarter mark now a good indicator of that this is just what these teams are going to bring to the table night in, night out? Is there going to be a falling off the cliff for the Islanders? Is it going to be a falling off the cliff for the Rangers being so young You know, but they're playing great under the new coach. And, you know, at first glance, two games over 500 isn't much, but because of the way these teams in the Metro are bunched up, nobody's really run away with it, and you may not have to if you want to sneak into a spot. It's just a matter of staying healthy and staying competitive. So just got to keep an eye on that. If nothing else, it's fun to watch. It's good to keep an eye on. And, you know, we'll see how that all plays out. And so, you know, as I was saying, good week for the Isles. I mentioned Josh Bailey a little bit earlier. He's still playing great. You know, I think we can, I mean, we could have for a little while now, but you can totally throw out this, you know, riding the coattails of John Tavares, say the same about Anders Lee. I mean, these guys are doing it on their own. And what a leader Josh Bailey has emerged to become on this team. I mean, not just now this season, but, you know, you look at the fact that 91 is gone and you look at all the question marks heading into the season on this team and how they were going to perform. And I mean, the dude is just exuding confidence on the ice on a nightly basis now, and he's potting points in the regularity. He's got 7 goals, 14 assists, and 22 games played. I mean, this guy now is just playing at near point-per-game pace now for a good while here, and it looks like this is just the guy he's going to be. And the more he puts up numbers like this, the more performances he puts in, like the recent outings. And that contract that he signed, that extension, might even end up looking like a bargain. I know some fans are cringing, saying, man, another 5 years of Bailey or whatever it is, you know, but right now that's looking pretty good. The fact that he's able to do it under Barry Trotz and, you know, again, Anders Lee also right up there playing great, leading the team. I think he's done a great job as captain so far. And then, you know, you look at Brock Nelson. You know, we talked about Brocktober. We were all waiting to see what was going to happen with November, see if he was going to be able to carry it on. I started calling it Brovember. And with only, what, five days left in the month, pretty safe to say at this point that Brovember's been a success. The guy is still playing well. 9 goals, 9 assists, 18 points in 22 games played. I'd say that's another solid month. Maybe not a perfect sheet night in, night out, but the guy's still filling that second-line center role quite well. And, you know, and Barry Trotz has done a little bit of line juggling. You know, he's swapped the wingers around a little bit, you know, sometimes at Barzell, sometimes with Nelson. But, you know, these guys have been pretty solid, pretty consistent throughout. And Nelson's been a huge part of this team. You can't deny it. This season, he's playing a very, very huge role for the New York Islanders and in the success that they've had so far. And to touch on another center before we bring Christian Arnold onto the show, is Val Filppula. I mean, come on. We're 22 games in now, whatever it is, 24. And this guy's still playing well. I mean, we end up bringing this guy's name up every week, it seems like now, because the guy just keeps giving us a reason. You know, we all thought, you know, he's old, you know, bad signing. You know, what's this guy going to do? His advanced stats are terrible. You know, it's not going to work out. And here he is almost on a nightly basis now making things happen. You know, even in more limited minutes in a bottom six role. I think he's doing very well on the kill. And I'm floored by just how well this guy has been performing on the team so far. That goal against Carolina was a thing of beauty last night, skating through all those guys. And, you know, look, maybe age catches up with him later on in the season. It's possible, right? We don't know. I mean, but we just got to take it, you know, and hopefully it continues. And then you got his line mate, Leo Komarov. He's still getting his name on the score sheet too. You know, maybe his fancies still aren't pretty, but these guys are contributing. You know, the scoring is fairly balanced. It's you know, and it's because of these guys that are, you know, surprisingly putting up points. You know, you're getting almost half a point a game out of Komarov. He's got 10 and 22. That's pretty damn good for a guy like him in the role that he's playing. So, you know, there's bright spots here. There's good things to look at. I mean, these forwards are playing, you know, pretty damn well, you know, despite the expectations. So we just got to see how it rides here. And, you know, even Kunackel coming in on spot duty, he's been in and out of the lineup. I think he's looked pretty good, you know, in his role. I mean, you got to give a lot of credit to Barry Trotz and the coaching staff because he's just getting so much, you know, out of these players on this lineup. And, you know, you look at Barzell, you look at Eberle. Eberle's definitely a little slow out of the gate. You know, he's got 11 points so far through 22. I think you'd be expecting a little more from him, you know, at this point in the season. But hopefully he gets going and maybe the Barry Trotz line juggling that's been going on will eventually help him click. But, you know, Barzal, he's got 20 points through 22, 3 goals, 17 assists. You'd definitely like to see his goal total, you know, increase. But, you know, he's still putting up the points. He's still almost at a point per game pace. And, you know, I'm sure he'll eventually get that together on the goal end of things, and things will improve. You know, you look at the minus 10 number. That's not exactly a great number to be seeing. But, you know, again, he's contributing. He had the great overtime goal the other night against the Devils. So, you know, these guys are still churning away here, and I like what I'm seeing under Barry Trotz. And then I guess you got to talk about a guy like Thomas Greiss. He's kind of taken the starting role here for the team. You know, it was kind of balanced between him and Lehner. Even earlier in the season, you know, you might have thought that they were going to get behind Lehner. He was going to be the guy to take over the reins and be that number one guy. But, you know, Greiss was struggling a little bit earlier on, and now it's flipped. You know, Lehner's had some tough outings here. And, you know, you get Greiss in there, and he's been playing really good. He's playing really good in those back-to-backs. But Christian Arnold is actually calling in right now, so let's bring him on and talk a little Isles with Christian. Christian, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Sean. How's everything?
I'm doing all right, doing my best here without my pal Tony. Unfortunately, he was a late-night scratch, so just going to be me and you tonight, buddy. But thanks so much for joining the show, and let's dive into it. I was just talking about how, you know, it seems like this might be what we're going to get, right? We're a quarter of the way through the season, and we're seeing ups and downs. They have a rough week 2 weeks ago. They bounce back, and they have a pretty good week after that bad loss, you know, to the Rangers. They have the great back-to-back wins against the Devils and the Canes. Just want to get your thoughts on, you know, is you expecting the same thing here? You know, some highs and lows, and maybe if they can stay healthy, they can kind of stick it out and keep at them for a playoff spot here?
Yeah, I think now we're going to really get a sense of what the New York Islanders are. I think now from, you know, right after American Thanksgiving, right until the middle of January, is really, really get a true sense of what this team is. I think 20 or so games is when, especially with the Islanders' case, you have teams that maybe don't necessarily take them as much of a dangerous team as they might be. You know, you catch some teams in the back-to-backs. Circumstances kind of dictate maybe that the Islanders are going to get, you know, a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt when it comes to how teams perceive them, especially considering they lost John Tavares and, you know, some other changes that are going on with the organization. But I think now you really get a sense of what this Islanders team is made of and how they're really going to perform, at least for the rest of the season. And then, like you said, there's been a lot of ups and there's been a lot of downs. They played a lot of good hockey, and then you had a couple stinkers with this team. And I think that's all part of the growing pains of a new, you know, people at the helm of the organization with Barry Trotz, the head coach, and Lou Lamoriello at the general manager position. I think this is, you know, the symptom of a team still really learning their identity, understanding what Trotz and his coaching staff want out of them on a night-to-night basis. And I think for the most part, they've really adapted to the style that Barry Trotz has been preaching since training camp began. And you're seeing that on the ice with a lot of those good performances where the Islanders are really playing, you know, good 200-foot hockey is when they're at their best, is when they're playing fully to the Barry Trotz system. And then when you see those games where they lose 5-0 or they're just rough outings, it's when they kind of get away from playing the right way and doing the things that Barry Trotz has been preaching. So I think those are all the symptoms of what a team still learning the new system that their new head coach is putting in place is going to go through.
Yeah, no question about it. I think you're right on the money there. And it's interesting, too, because there's been a lot of talk recently, you know, about the Barry Trotz system. You have the, you know, the word structures being thrown around a lot. And also, more particularly, you have, you know, the advanced stats, right? And you look at, you know, what he did with the Capitals last season. And without the numbers in front of you, from what I understand, they actually weren't, you know, too great looking at those advanced stats and the Corsi 4 and all that. And they're kind of doing the same thing again. Well, he's doing the same thing again now with the Islanders, and there's this emphasis on, you know, quality of shots over quantity, and it's working so far. I mean, is this something that you think that they can, you know, maintain long-term to continue to be successful here?
I think the pieces are in place for that to continue. I think you're dead on the money with that, because if you look at the Islanders' performance against the Carolina Hurricanes the other night, the Islanders allow 27 shots on goal from Carolina. That's their lowest they've allowed in the three meetings with the Hurricanes this season. They only put up 19 shots through periods. I mean, they scored 4 goals. So they're not putting up a ton of shots, but they're putting up the right shots. And if you look at where Carolina and some of the opposing teams that the Islanders play when they're playing well, you know, they're putting up shots, but they're not quality shots. They're just a large quantity of shots. They are coming from the outside. There's not a lot of chances down low in the high danger areas. They're, you know, players are getting in front of pucks in the shooting lanes. Even look at the other night when you had Matthew Barzal jumping in front of a shot and you know, taking one for the team, which is, you know, a sense that the Islanders are buying into the Barry Trotz system. Maybe, you know, it kind of goes in the face of what the analytics people have been saying the last couple of years and how much people have really kind of taken to the advanced stats. But, you know, Barry Trotz kind of, like you said, Barry Trotz did the same thing with the Capitals last year where, you know, they're advanced pretty, but I mean, they won a Stanley Cup. So something has to be doing, has to be right there, what he's doing. So I think you're seeing that with the Islanders now. I think you're seeing that with what his system is and that structure that's in place. I think it's a world of difference because that structure is there. Last season when the Islanders were winning games, they were winning games in shootouts. I mean, they were winning 6-5, 7-4, high-scoring games when there wasn't where it wasn't a ton of structure, which was a lot of back and forth where both teams were scoring goals and the team that scored the most goals was going to win because there was going to be a high amount of goals. There wasn't a lot of defense being played. This year, you're seeing the Islanders win those tight games, those structured games, because that system is in place, because the Islanders are playing to that system, playing in that structure, and they're not putting up a ton of shots, but they're putting up the right shot.
Right, absolutely. And I guess now that we are at this quarter mark part of the season, we're getting more of an idea what we're getting from this team. If there was something that you could look at that they can improve on, and obviously you have to, you know, take a look at, you know, the players that they have in place here. But I mean, if there's something you looking at this team that could improve, what would be the first thing that stands out to you?
I think the Islanders still could use a couple more scorers on their up front. You know, I think that they've done a lot with what they have in place, but if you could get another top six forward, that would go make a world's difference for the Islanders, who, you know, kind of when all four lines are going, that's a tough team to play against. But that's not going to happen every night. You're going to have some lines that are going to struggle, and you're going to see, you have some nights where, you know, the top six guys don't show up sometimes. So the Islanders are going to need that. They're going to need another. I think they need another top six forward. I think also defensively they could use one more veteran presence, if that's possible at all at this point. But right now I think the Islanders are just trying to get through the season and kind of understand the system and kind of get that under their belt, which they've been doing very quickly. So I think, but like I said, I think the Islanders probably need another top six forward just to kind of even things out a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you. It's going to be interesting to see if that's something Lou looks at, you know, if they stay in the mix here, is he going to be active at the deadline to try to give them a little bump and surprise everybody to get into the playoff mix, or maybe holds on to his assets? I suppose that remains to be seen. But let's talk about a couple guys on the roster right now. There was a lot of, you know, question marks raised when, you know, after number 91 walked away and the Islanders, you know, they made a couple of depth signings. And you look at guys like Filppula, Komarov, Kunackel, and everybody was kind of scratching their head saying, why the heck did they bring these guys in? And here we are now, you know, 22 games into the season. And I mean, unless I'm crazy here, it looks like these guys have been pretty positive additions for this team. I mean, you look what Filppula is doing, 15 points through 22 games. The guy's shooting percentage, we're talking about percentages and all that, 31.6%. I mean, that'll obviously continue to come down to average here, but the guy's showing up, he's playing great on the penalty kill. And he's at almost a 60-point clip here. And you have Komarov, you know, chiming in too. He's actually had some decent chemistry with Flip. And when Kunak has been in the lineup, I think he's been all right. So is it finally time to maybe, you know, for the critics here to silence themselves a little bit and just say, hey, you know what, maybe Louis was onto something with these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit, I was one of those people who looked at those moves and kind of scratched their head and wondering what Lou Lamoriello was doing. But those guys have made a world difference. Kind of bounce off what you've been saying. I mean, those guys are utility players. They can kind of do it all. I mean, you look at Filppula the other day, he looks like he was doing his best Matthew Barzal impression with that goal to kick off the scoring in the first period for the Islanders. So these are guys who have come in, and I mean, to Lou Lamoriello's credit, he knew what he was getting in Komarov, who, you know, he had in Toronto, and he's Komarov has come in and he's been a utility player. He can play well in his own end. He plays well with Phil, and that line has created some chances. Filppula obviously, putting some points on the board, and Kunackle obviously doing the same. Those guys that came in and have made a world difference and really solidified the bottom half of the Islanders roster. Even you look at just the way they play on the ice with, other players. I mean, Beauvillier played a couple games with them, and it made a world of difference for his game, too. It was really when you started to see him really put things into gear and kind of turn the Jets on to where he was last season at the end of the year. So those guys have not only been productive playing with each other, but you've put other guys on that line, and you've seen them become better players, and you've seen them kind of round out their game and create opportunity. Those are guys who, like I said, they play well in their own end, but they also have very good playmaking skills in the offensive zone. You can put them on the penalty kill, and they'll play responsibly in their own end. They create scoring chances, and they'll get a couple goals on the board too for you. So, I mean, those are guys that Lou Lamoureux really saw and brought in and thought those guys fit what Barry Trotz and he were trying to build with this organization, which was the structure, which was that gritty style, which was that kind of blue-collar mentality, and it's really worked to their success.
Yeah, no doubt about it, no doubt about it. And I think another guy that's surprising a little bit for this team now so far this season, at least for me, on the D end is Scott Mayfield. I expected him to be basically nothing more than a press box guy. Maybe he's your number seven. He's your fill-in, when a guy goes down. And, maybe I didn't give this guy enough time, give him enough chance, because I think he's looked great so far this season in the role he's played. He's got 3 goals, 7 assists. It seems like more and more he's just more involved in things happening on the offensive side of the puck, which is something I really didn't expect. So maybe just talk a little about Scott Mayfield and what he's been bringing to the table.
I've always been a fan of Mayfield since even when he was still a prospect with the Islanders. Obviously, he has a big shot and he's a big guy, and that's always an asset on the blue line. But you're right. I think he's been I think his game has kind of come a huge step in the right direction, especially under Barry Trotz. I think defense as a whole has come in the right direction under Barry Trotz. But I think a guy like Scott Mayfield also benefits from the new style and that new structure that we've been talking so much about. When you have that sort of responsibility and you have that that role that he's going to play in the defensive zone, and you have that structure, that's a way for him to succeed. And you're really seeing him play well and play responsibly. And really, good defense leads to good offense, and he's playing that role as well. So I think Scott Mayfield, who has always had a lot of potential in my eyes, I know, like you said, I think a lot of guys have always been a little more down on Mayfield than I have. But I think that potential is finally coming to light with the right system and the right head coach, kind of leading the way and helping his game grow and helping him become more of a solid player on that blue line, because that blue line, like I said, it's taken leaps and bounds in the right direction. So Scott Mayfield is a product of that blue line as a whole getting better, and you're seeing a lot of those guys, the Pellicks, the Pulocks, the Mayfields. Even Nick Leddy has taken a step in the right direction this season as well under Barry Trotz, where he was struggling big time last year. So I think you saw all of those guys really benefit from what Barry Trotz, who is a very defensive-minded coach, has come in and brought to this organization.
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize that and just recognize the fact that they're getting a lot out of guys that maybe, we didn't expect to be as good, or maybe just weren't going to, put together the type of season that they are now. And you look no further than a guy like Brock Nelson right now. He keeps coming up. We can't stop talking about him on this show because everybody's waiting to see what this guy's going to continue to do. You have the jokes about, Brocktober. We're almost at the end of November now, and I think he passed the November test. I think the guy's stuck around. He's playing very well. He's filled in excellently, for that second-line center spot. So, now, and I kind of brought it up with Tony last week, I was like, do you start thinking about, he's an unrestricted free agent. They don't have any depth in the system right now to fill in that second line center spot. Maybe, I don't know when you start kind of saying to yourself, they got to sign this guy. They got to keep him around because they got, they got nobody else to fill the spot currently.
Right. And I agree. I think this November or Brovember, I think you were the one who coined that term on social media. He's passed the test. I think this is the consistent Brock Nelson that I think everybody has been looking for since he made his rookie debut. He has performed well in October and November. He's consistently playing well and consistently producing points and a big part of the Islanders offense. And I think the first priority for the Islanders right now, as far as free agents go, is Anders Lee. You don't want another captain to escape in free agency after the season. So Anders Lee is number one. But to your point, Brock Nelson, the season he's had, certainly makes the case for being the second guy that needs to be re-signed before the season's up, before you let him get the free agency. Because if even as you get closer to the trade deadline, because even if you don't re-sign him right now, you probably want to lock him up before the deadline, so it doesn't leave that sense of doubt where you get around the trade deadline and teams start speculating or people start speculating that maybe Brock Nelson is a player in move because he's been playing so well. Maybe you use him as a piece to make a bigger deal with a team that can bring you a better player, a quality player that's going to push you over the edge and make this team from a potential playoff team to a rock-solid playoff team that maybe can make a deep run. So I think if you're the Islanders, Lee is your first priority. But Brock Nelson is, 1A or a very close second at least because of the season he's had. And because after years and years of investing time and investing money into this guy, he's finally giving the consistent results that as an organization and as a fan base, the people have been waiting for. And it's finally making an impact in a big way. So it'd be a tough pill to swallow if the Islanders let him get away in free agency. Or even in a trade, unless it's something major coming back, it'd be a tough pill to swallow if the Islanders involved him in a trade. So I think you probably start thinking about trying to re-sign him as soon as the ink is dry, or even as soon as you make your first pitch to Anders Lee, because you want to keep him here. Because, like you said, there's not a ton of depth in the organization where Brock Nelson's spot can be filled by someone else.
Right, for sure. And who would have thought, that the script would flip like this, so to speak, and that all of a sudden we're talking about how important it may be to keep Brock Nelson. And I think a lot of people had him tabbed as maybe trade bait at the deadline, as you bring that up. And now all of a sudden he might be a very important piece going forward here. I mean, let's see. I mean, it's only been 2 months. Let's see what December brings. But I think the thought's got to keep creeping into your head, when you start to look down the road. And I guess we'll just cover one more guy that's going to enter that conversation here. And that's Jordan Eberle. I'd say he's a little slower out of the gate than maybe expected of him, only 11 points through 22 games. What have you seen from Eberle so far, and where do you think he factors in when you consider these unrestricteds they have coming up?
I think he's probably the guy that's most likely to be moved if there is a trade to be made at the deadline. I think teams would value what Jordan Eberle can bring. I think you're right. He has had a bit of a slower start than a lot of people anticipated him having, especially after he had a renaissance season last year. But, I think in his case, unlike, Anders Lee or Brock Nelson, the production just isn't there to really say that he's untouchable at this point when it comes to unrestricted free agents on this team. So I think he's probably the guy that right now would be on the top of my list as the guy who's used as part of a deal. If the Islanders can get better down the line near the trade deadline, that's going to be dealt. Nick Leddy is obviously, who's not an unrestricted free agent, but he's a guy who's also kind of been in that conversation as well, considering the way that his game has kind of come back around, but he's still not the player that the Islanders need him to be on a defensive unit that really can't afford any extra baggage. But for me, Jordan Eberle is probably the guy that's likely first moved if they're not going to have the space or they're not going to have the desire to re-sign him to try and get something back for him. And B, I think just from his production wise, he's the unrestricted free agent that's most likely to he's a guy you can make a trade and not feel like you let someone get away.
Right, absolutely. I agree with you there. And last one, Christian, if you don't mind, just wanted to have you touch on the goaltending, what you've seen out of Grayson Lehner so far. I think we were a little unsure heading into the season, what we were going to get from these guys, especially with Lehner's history and Thomas Greiss having a real, real rough season with the Islanders last year. What have you seen from those guys, and how do you see maybe it playing out now going forward with Thomas Greiss kind of starting to get a little bit of the bulk of the starts here?
Yeah, I think Barry Trotz is a guy who likes to kind of go with the guy that's playing well at the moment, and that's obviously been Thomas Greiss. You saw the last couple games, and he's been a huge part. Even, going back before that, he's been a huge part of why the Islanders have been winning when he's in net. That they obviously play well in front of him. Same with Robin Leonard, but he's a guy who can make a big save when the time calls for it, and he's done that over the course of this season when he's been in net. And not to take anything away from Robin Lehner, too, he's been a solid goaltender in net. I think Greiss is obviously at this point kind of earn the place, at least for the time being, as the Islanders' number one go-to starter. I mean, you look at what Barry Trotz did the other day. He had no qualms about putting Price in net on back-to-back nights. I think that for now, the time being, Thomas Greiss is the number one goaltender. But again, that's not to take anything away from Robin Lehner, who's played good in the few times that he's been in net. Obviously, there have been a couple rough games, but I think that's also, that's happened to Thomas Greiss. And I think if you look at the play in front of them, they usually do everything that they can to keep the Islanders in the game. And it's really the players in front of them that are making some of those mistakes. And I think Barry Trotz is not letting those guys get off the hook, maybe like some previous coaching staffs had. I mean, even look at the other day when, Greiss didn't play great in the Islanders' loss, and Barry Trotz went up there and told us after the game, Greiss wanted to take some of the blame. He said that's not going to happen. We're not going to let the goaltenders, take the blame for our mistakes. So I think both goaltenders have played well this season and have both earned time in net. And the Islanders, I think, really for the time being, have a solid 1-2 punch in net. Even when Greiss isn't in net, they always have a chance to win with Robin Lehner, who's played well and perform admirably when he's in the net. So I think we kind of have this conversation every year about goaltending. I think it's safe to say that the Islanders have a solid 1-2 punch between Thomas Greiss and Robin Lehner. So again, credit to Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz for bringing in the right people. Thomas Greiss already being here, and then Robin Lehner, coming in via free agency.
Christian, I agree with you 100%, and I really appreciate you giving some time here and joining the show. Appreciate it very, very much, and hope to have you on the show later on in the season.
Absolutely, Sean. Thanks for having me, man.
No doubt about it. Chris, take care. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Christian Arnold from Isles Insight. He is the managing editor over there. You can follow him on Twitter at C_Arnold01. Great stuff from Chris. So, yeah, I mean, quarter way through, not bad for these guys. I'll take it. And, it's been fun to watch. I look forward to every next game. At least they're giving us some competitive hockey here. Barry Trotz has given us a reason to believe. And even these guys like Komarov and Filppula that everybody was questioning, kind of giving us a reason to watch too. They're playing well in the roles that they have. And, again, hopefully it continues. I've been using that phrase ever since the season started, but, I'm really doing this whole wait and see thing this season. And so far, pretty good. And who would have thought that at this point in the year that we'd be talking about prioritizing Brock Nelson potentially as a guy to sign, going forward. Maybe you got people out there that are going to argue, it's just a flash in the pan, or it's just a contract year. He's going to go back to his old ways. But, there's another guy that the Islanders drafted into this organization that took a while to get it together. But I was just singing his praises early in the show, and that's Josh Bailey. It was a long learning curve for him. It took him a while to get it together. It took him some demotions down to Bridgeport. We all remember that whole story. People were, calling for this guy to be off the team years ago, and the Isles stuck with him. And you're really seeing that this is paying off with Josh Bailey, and why not Brock Nelson? Why not? Maybe all it took was getting a coach like Barry Trotz and his system and, whatever tutelage that, he has behind the scenes that we're not privy to with practice and in the locker room. And maybe Brock Nelson finally just gets it. And, rather than being a pessimist and just looking at the contract year situation or just being a flash in the pan, maybe this is, what Brock Nelson first round pick is capable of. And he can be a solid 2C in this league. And if that's the case, it's a huge win for the Islanders because the guy's still young. And, this is a guy that could be a good center behind Barzal going forward. And it's a great box to check off for this team when you look at what they're trying to build for the future. So, I didn't see it coming. Maybe a lot of people didn't, but you got to give credit where it's due to Brock Nelson, and hopefully he keeps it up. And yeah, if we're getting into December, January, and we're still seeing the performance that he's putting up, then I'm going to start, hopping on that sign Nelson bandwagon. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm willing to take a chance on him. I think, and if the Islanders are confident in what he's doing, Barry Trotz, Lou Lamoriello, I'm sure they're going to have plenty of conversations about this when the time comes. And if they think it's worth putting pen to paper with Brock Nelson to keep him in that spot, I can get on board with that. I think that's going to be a good move. I mean, The question is just rounding out the rest of the roster. You look at Jordan Eberle. Are they going to be able to sign Lee Eberle and Brock Nelson and then add to the team as well? I know we're all dreaming of guys like Panarin over in Columbus. You know, hopefully that still can, you know, remains to be a possibility. And then, yeah, sure, you know, dealing a guy like Eberle, you know, at the deadline to get some assets, you know, doesn't look so bad. Or letting him walk, I guess. I mean, the only situation maybe you see that if he's not in the plans is if you know, this team, you know, actually stays in playoff contention. Because, I mean, I'll always argue that, you know, if you got a team at the deadline and, you know, certainly if they're in a playoff spot at the time, you can't deal a guy away that's going to contribute to this team. You got a top six winger in Jordan Eberle. I know you hate to see assets go for nothing. I mean, we had the absolute worst of it in history this past summer, so I understand that that still stings. It's going to sting for a while, and you don't want to see that continue to happen, you know, and you even go back further. And, you know, regardless of the reasons for why these guys may or may not have stayed, but you look at, you know, Oposo and Nielsen, those guys signing on other teams, number 91, and getting nothing back. These are guys that they drafted into the organization that, you know, proved themselves on the ice to be pretty damn decent players that you could have gotten something back for, some draft picks, maybe some young prospects to kind of help speed this retooling along that the Islanders are kind of, you know, going through right now. So, you know, I get all that, but, you know, when it comes to the playoffs, look, and I know Tony and I even said last week, we talked about that very debate about, you know, what's better for this team. You know, is it going to be, you know, making a run to the playoffs, maybe sneaking in, you know, getting these guys, you know, some competition in the playoffs and help build the team that way? Or is it better for these guys to fall off and you start dealing guys away for assets? And it's a tough argument to have. And, you know, you want to look towards the future and you want to be able to build the team sooner than later. So I get that whole argument for dealing these guys at the deadline. But, you know, if they're in the mix, you know, it's tough. If they're 2-3 points out of a playoff spot around the deadline, do you just pack in and say, no, if they don't have what it takes, you know, we're going to deal these guys away? Maybe in that position you don't add to what you have. That I could certainly, you know, see them doing. That would be reasonable. But if you're in a playoff spot, you know, how do you kill the morale of the guys in the locker room and say, hey, look, even though you guys are right in the thick of it here, you know, we don't believe in you enough to get in and make some noise in the playoffs. We're just going to, you know, sell these guys. That's tough. I mean, I feel like, you know, you put myself in a player's shoes like that, and, you know, that's not going to make me happy if your management's coming and saying, hey, look, guys, you know, this is a fraud. You guys aren't going anywhere. You know, and I'm going to dismantle the team even though you're in a playoff spot. That just doesn't sit well with me. So, obviously, we still have plenty of games to go before we really start worrying about what happens in that regard. But, you know, hey, fun to talk about. That's why we do the shows here. But, you know, it's just nice that they're there. I like watching the wins, you know, even though I know I've been making some arguments for getting some assets as well. So, you know, just a very schizophrenic show here that we have between myself and Tony. But I guess before we wrap things up, we'll just look at the week ahead. Islanders aren't too busy after these back-to-backs against Jersey and Carolina. They will be hosting the Capitals at Barclays tomorrow night. Curious to see what attendance is going to look like for that one, because it wasn't all that impressive when I was there last night. This is going to be a Monday night game, probably plenty of seats available at a decent price. But as far as these big division rivalry games go, this is a big one for the Isles, especially if they want to kind of keep the Caps down in the mix with them being in the third place spot and, you know, keep them from running away with it. Because, you know, if these teams in the division keep playing the way they are, like I mentioned before, you're just going to see these teams sliding up and down the division, the standings, you know, basically on a night-by-night basis. So the more teams that you can kind of keep within reach, within striking distance, you know, the better off the Islanders are going to be as far as their chances of, you know, sneaking into a playoff spot. So I would say tomorrow night's a big game. I would think that after playing, you know, back-to-backs, Thomas Greiss will probably get a rest tomorrow against the Caps. What do I know, though? You know, maybe Trotz goes right back to Greiss because of the way he's been playing. And, you know, we'll see. But maybe Lehner gets to have a chance of redeeming himself after the tough night against the Rangers. And then the Isles will have the next two nights off, and they go into Boston on Thursday. Boston not playing as well as I thought they would be to this point in the season. I have to say I am a little surprised by that. I thought they would be in the top three in the Atlantic, tussling with the Lightning, tussling with the Leafs. But then we have the out-of-nowhere Buffalo Sabres, like I mentioned before, just playing excellent right now. But Boston's 13-6-4 with 30 points. They've won their last two. Tuukka Rask is coming around a little bit after his rough start to the season. And then, of course, you got his partner over there, Jaro Halak, who is, as far as I can see, he's been playing great ever since he's gone over there. So, you know, Boston's going to be a tough out. That's going to be a tough game, especially in Boston on Thursday night. And then as the calendar turns to December, we got Saturday. We've got one more game that week. Saturday, that will be the first game at the Coliseum against the Columbus Blue Jackets. A lot of excitement around that one. Unfortunately, I will not be able to attend, but I hope all you guys are. That's going to be a lot of fun, finally seeing some regular season hockey back at the Coliseum. And another tough divisional game against the Blue Jackets, another team you want to keep right there in striking distance. So a couple of big games this week. It's going to be fun to watch. And as December comes in, we'll just see what this team continues to do as the season goes forth. I mean, just looking further into the December calendar here, you got some Western Conference tilts. You got one against Winnipeg. You got both games against Vegas happening in December. That's actually the second one is going to be part of a tail-end road trip going into Colorado and Arizona back-to-back and then playing Vegas on the 20th. I'm sure some of you has got some flights booked for that one. That'll be a lot of fun. And, you know, I think that's pretty much it, folks. I don't got Tony here, so I'm going to cut the show a little bit shorter. But as always, I appreciate you guys tuning in to Hockey Night in New York. Don't forget, you can always follow us at Hockey Night NY on the Twitter. You can follow Tony at Tony Stabile. You can follow myself at Shawnee Hockey. Big thanks to Christian Arnold from Isles Inside for joining me tonight. We will be back next week. And don't forget, you can always tune in live or for the archives at HockeyNightNY.com. Subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Android or on Stitcher, and we're also on SoundCloud. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have yourselves a great rest of your Sunday night. Take care, folks.